Hello, thank you for being with us here on New Life, the educational series with Rav Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. We would like to talk to Rav Lightman about a fascinating topic today that's very unclear. It's about the zodiac and the things that we can get from it. So, please, Nitza, open this discussion. So, one of the challenges that we have here as human beings in life is really our lack of ability to expect what will happen, to foresee that. We don't know what the future is there for us, and in general, what life brings us. A lack of ability to manage life. Yes, a lack of ability to manage life, and it's a very not simple thing. Well, throughout history, we see that one of the most fascinating and interesting topics in the world have been astrology, which makes a contact between the planets and maybe our fortune or even the attributes and characters of human beings. And as we look at history, even if we look at ancient Egypt, they had astrology, and also astrology existed in ancient Greece, and also in the East, the Indians and the Chinese, and also in the West, the Maya civilization was very much into it. I remember that 15 years ago when I traveled to Mexico personally, and it was the first time I met so meaningfully in this topic, and I read about it, and I saw how much it really is a fascinating topic. And there were also periods where people truly worshipped the stars and the planets, and they thought they were like gods and so forth. But if we look at the whole move throughout the years in history, even today, now and here and now, there's research shows that even a quarter of the Western population shows that they believe there's a connection between the constellations and the planets have to do with our lives. And it's one of the most viewed things on the newspapers, the astrology pages. So we would like to understand a little bit from you this fascinating story. First question maybe is... well, maybe I should start by giving some kind of introduction here. Wait. So, we develop gradually. We meaning all of reality. And a human being as its last stage of development of the world. It works out that a developing person, after still vegetative and animate, specifically because he is so developed and he has a mind and feelings and a developed mind where he can develop more than animals can in nature. About the animal, it's written that a one-day-old calf, you could call it a bull already. Meaning, even though it was born today, it already has the same intellect, the same feelings, like a mature bull. And it knows that this is prohibited, this is allowed, and according to his sense of smell, he can know this is something I should taste, and this is something I shouldn't. Whereas a human being knows nothing. When a baby that's born, we need to kind of like upload like a software that we do in a computer. Same thing we have to do with the baby. If we don't fill him with anything, he'll be like an animal. And if we fill him with the knowledge that we already did throughout thousands of years, then he will be a human being at the same level as much as we fill it. Meaning he could develop to the degree in contradiction to still vegetative and animals. The human being is in such a development that this development is something he achieves himself. He has certain inclinations for it, but he himself goes and opens for himself this world. And therefore, he is a very sensitive species, because he needs to feel nature. He's strong in that he can build systems and overcome all kinds of forms of nature. He has constructed and invented electricity and fire in order to warm and to see at night, and well, and bridges to the differences, to the distances like the internet and so on. Meaning we have added to nature everything that nature doesn't give us, actually. Other than the limits of our lives and a few other things. Truly, man has managed to do many things. With that, man himself has not really changed much. Because as much as we develop, we see that the limits, the boundaries from which man can develop are to an extent. We can do all kinds of, we can make all kinds of parts more complex and developed, but in essential things, we don't control at all. And this is what is concerned with what's with my destiny, what's with my future, what about my death, what before birth and what after death, yeah? Outside of this life, what happens? How do we deal with anything, any connections that occur in this world with different people, with different places? Why was I born with these specific qualities, a certain sex, certain place in a certain nation, in a certain period and era? We don't know all those things, meaning there's something that manages us, and this providence is something we can't understand. We only know here, I'm here, or then, and the environment. Okay, now I'll build a house instead of living in a cave. Now I'll prepare some food for myself because it's not dependent so much on the weather, so I won't be dependent on the weather so much. So, and but in within life, in addition to my body, which belongs to the world of the animal, not even the speaking, then I don't know more than that. Meaning, above the degree of animal, I use basically my mind for the sake of the degree of animal. What happens in the degree of animal? Well, the degree of animal is my bodily. What does that mean? Meaning, why do I develop physics, chemistry, biology, zoology, and so on? Because it has to do with the functioning of my body. I can't exit that function outwards. It works out that I use what was given to me above the degree of animal, my great intellect, to learn nature, all kinds of laws. I use them for the sake of the degree of animal. I didn't go so far with my feet, so I invented a car. I want to talk to my friends in the distance, so I have the phone, the internet, the radio, and so on. But this is all for the comfort of the body, for the health of the body, for the comfort of the body. Well, family, children, son, we have nothing that we can develop through our special intellect for the sake of a greater degree of than that of the world of animals, which is ours. So universities and the stock exchange and the museums, no matter what, it's all actually for my comfort, to improve my physical, bodily life, yes, which basically has to do with the degree of animal. And this is a little frustrating, because all in all, I was given emotions and a mind and ability to development and to develop from generation to generation. And we have come to a state in which we are traveling around the world, around the globe, and soon we are also going to really reach a state in which a person, instead of living, let's say, 100 years ago, people lived 40, 50 years. No, they're living to closer to 100 years lifespan. In 50 years, we'll live maybe 200 years. It's just not known what to do with all those years. But really, a person will feel himself healthy and will live. Well, what's the benefit in this, but meaning there's in our ability to make our life here in this world much more powerful, lengthy, healthy, meaning for our body to exist. What, the question is just what to do with it. And as we improve our life, benefit our life, our family, our children, and so on, it doesn't work out for us so much, but that's what we work on, and it's in our ability, but we're just not sufficiently wise in this. Meaning we know that it's worthwhile to concede, to be in connection with people, to be in love, and in comradeship, and peace, and the mutual connections, but it doesn't work out. But we can. We're capable. Meaning we see here the secret to success, and just not yet quite capable of using it. But nevertheless, it's before us. Other than one very emphasized manner, which is everything that has to do with our destiny, our fortune, where the concept of our destiny includes what the form of existence was before we were born, what the form of our existence will be after we die, and what happens to us here in the middle between when we're born and we die, which is called life. What in this life do we go through that on one hand we need to say there's something that is planned here, and there's something that comes, well, towards us. It comes as if it's in an incident. So I need to know that for me, it's an, although it's an incident, maybe I can rise a little bit like this and look and see, and then I will see the plan. Yes, and that's very fascinating. Right. So because humanity has always been very dependent on the environment, on the environment of the inanimate, the vegetative, and the animal, like meaning a nature, and also about good or bad neighbors, the nations, and so on and so forth, then everyone wanted to actually know what this basically is saying about the future. Therefore, people were always very attracted to all kinds of such studies, to learn the signs that are in nature and how these signs are connected to us, especially to our nature, our destiny. And there is very rich literature on the topic from the ancient days, truly, and until our days. Why? Because also today we haven't opened anything in this. We haven't solved any secret. Anything that was also remained. We just know that there are such people that can discover the future, and they really do. There are people that can truly feel and see and live seemingly in the future emotionally, internally. Even though they kind of enter into a certain internal feeling, they rise above themselves and connect to some stream of knowledge which exists above what we can grasp, and they grasp it, and they can later tell us about it. So there are also all kinds of means of how to go out to such a sensation, to such an ability of feeling nature outside of my body, meaning to disconnect from it in some manner, through drugs, through all kinds of actions, to bring oneself to an ecstasy in which one can disconnect from the body. These things are known and are in the ancient culture of just about any nation, any people. And around this, there are many tales and stories and imaginations and whatnot. There are nations that are more attracted to it and those that are less. When I was in England for the first time, maybe 30 years ago, maybe more than that, maybe 40 years, I was shown that people that rent an apartment, before they enter into the flat, they invite some special people. And of course, they're advertised in the newspaper, these different services, yes, that people give this service. And they clean, purify your flat, not from the dust, from the evil forces. And when you go into the flat, and there's either nothing there, or there's something even good, like good energies, yes. And that's, in a official thing. I was told that it's almost, you don't even exist in a state where you would move to an apartment without going through such a service. And that's in England, nevertheless. And there are many such things. Once I was in Mexico, and I stumbled upon, other than the pyramids and all those things that I saw, I like to visit such things. I saw also how they dance in such a manner, in a special way, where there's a day a year where they bring food to some places and light the candles and put food there, actual food there. And this was on the primetime channel of TV in Mexico when I came to film myself there. And in the yard there, this closed big yard, where this TV station was, there was a special place, kind of like a, like where you put flowers usually, like a flower bed kind of place. That's where there were all kinds of special plates with all kinds of forms of food. And this is for the dead. Yes, it's the festival of the death. It's very traditional. And then they would take the bones of the dead and they put them back, they wash them and they put them back into the grave. And it's like, in honor of my parents, just like that, my father and my mother, I do that for their respect. And I've seen other things in other places also. Truthfully, it was mostly in Latin America. But in general, all of religion which engages in these matters and surrounds these things and different faiths in the world, where it's very difficult to differentiate between religion and fortune telling and different beliefs and prayers, meaning it all belongs to the unknown. And in this unknown, there was a person who battled. In a way that I truly understand that he made, on one hand, a big revolution. On the other hand, he battled without any fear, and his name was Abraham. He himself worked with these matters. He was selling different astrologies and fortunes and statues. It was very confused. Back then, the science and the religion and faiths were very intermingled. And all of this work was within... science had to do with religions. I think some of this confusion exists till this day. Yes, of course. We have not distanced from all of this. This whole technology is very mechanical. It's not... raising a person to the eye. It's on the contrary, it actually lowers one, because we were supposed to develop to a much more exalted place and much higher. But what I'm trying to say is that Abraham, specifically from being one who works in astrology and works with planets and fortunes, he used to sell statues and was in potions, and his father Terach and all those, they were very big in Babylon in these matters. Let's say that just like today, all the heads of religions and faiths in one image, that's what he was. And he came out of it. He exited that. He studied nature out of an inner pressure. Why and for what this is all existing, and who is that upper force that holds everything and maintains everything and controls everything? What is the most supreme force, the Creator? And then he revealed him. And this was, I think, very difficult work in great soul devotion, specifically against the fear and the anxiety that he had, because he went against his whole all these social agreements and things that he had beforehand, and the fear that he would be killed, and he really had to actually escape from there eventually. But he was actually one of the first people upon earth that made that move from mysticism and different charms and spells and all that work, the idol worship, etc. He put a very clear boundary of where the truth is, the nature is, the human brain that's studying it, and the ability of a person to advance to the degree of Adam. Because here specifically we need to show the difference between a human being and a beast on one hand, and on the other hand the boundary between where there's a person that believes all kinds of things, that there's a huge confusion in this all over humanity. These believe that and those believe that, and there's a whole thing, and that's not even associated with religions, because religions are somehow something organized, and here it's some kind of like the dark range within it, the dark realms, where Abraham discovered, which is the knowledge of the Creator and the wisdom of Kabbalah. We have religion, where there's also clear rules, something that a person needs to do, where he's put in a certain framework, and he's told, from here to there, that's it. Whatever exits that realm, we already look at you differently. Meaning, religion is a social framework which binds a person in a very very meticulous way, I would say, and doesn't let him run away. It's a certain additional pressure, but with the promise of this world, next world, you know, the Garden of Eden and heaven and all that. And there's a difference between the science of the upper world, which is the wisdom of Kabbalah, and within and between that and religion, there is a certain, I would say, a dark, obscured realm in between, where all the people want to know not just how I can pray, or not just bring some contribution to some place or some, but how I want to know about myself. What's my fortune? What's my future? What will happen to me? How can I succeed in something? How am I protected from something? How can I keep myself? It's a little bit more practical. I'm not asking about the next world, maybe. That's a little far. That's more for religion. What about our life? Yes, how to succeed today in something. Some kind of, give me a little note, something, something to buy, so it'll be with me, that maybe will help me. And for my children, maybe. And that's how it meaning simple symbols or signs that give a person a certain strengthening with a hope for all the good. And these hopes for good, these things that I bought, well, something, or either I hang it somewhere on myself, or I go with it as like a red string, or hold on as an earring or something, all kinds of things. They strengthen a person, and his psychological strengthening operates really well. And truly, people are willing to pay a lot of money in order to feel themselves comfortable, good, confident, happy, and it heals. We know how much internal confidence helps and awakens the internal forces of a person and the ability to keep him, hold him, heal him, give him strength. Therefore, we cannot erase these things as if they don't work. They work. They only work in a rational plane, specifically. Their source it comes from an irrational place. Therefore, there is the wisdom of Kabbalah, there's the religion, and this gray area in the middle. Yes, this foggy gray realm. And that's what I said when I was in England. There, you go to some office, you invite certain people to come and purify the apartment. Yes, before you go into the apartment, so that the energies will be good there, from all kinds of demons and such. Rav Lightman, our time is short. The introduction was great. We're going to invite some additional topics and discussions. So, a summary, meaning there's a place for all these things. We need to relate to them in accordance and with equal seriousness, because for a person in our world, there are many, very few people in this world that the wisdom of Kabbalah is important for them. Many people that believe in some form and some and associate themselves to the people of faith, those who believe, that are connected to the religion or orthodoxy or such in general, almost all people. But within all the people, you can also find some connection to that gray area, which somewhat believes, somewhat does. And thank you very much. We will continue to talk about this. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you, too, for being with us. Until next time, all the best. New Life.